Hello, and welcome to What is Wrong with Hiring, the podcast where we talk about why hiring people and getting hired are both absolute nightmares. I'm Laura Klein, a UX design manager.
And I'm Amy Santee. Damn it. My phone made a noise.
I'm Amy Santee. Damn it. No, it's fine. We're glad that you're Amy Santee. All right.
Okay. And I'm Amy Santee, a jaded and increasingly less optimistic career coach given the state of the world today.
Please be advised that this podcast may contain drinking, swearing, and screaming into the abyss, pretty much like most podcasts. Today, we're going to be talking about professional branding, which I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty cringeworthy. It's a useful way to describe what we often feel we need to do to get jobs and put ourselves out there. But it's, you know, very capitalist language. It sounds like turning ourselves into a product for sale and marketing ourselves. And yes, while a very useful concept, I also like to call it professional identity or professional positioning or presence or reputation. There are some other words that I think feel a bit nicer and make me feel a bit better about thinking about my own professional brand.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be like, oh, look, we're flavor blasted with extreme nacho flavor. I don't know. It doesn't have to be something like that. And frankly, as UX professionals, it probably shouldn't be. I don't really want to be associated with Cool Ranch. What I would like to be associated with is something else. And I think we have some control over that. Sometimes I think we have less control over it than we might like. But there's nothing wrong with thinking about it and being a little bit more intentional about the way that we feel like we come across. Not always in the expected ways, by the way. Let's get into it.
I gotta be right back because I think I'm gonna go make some edits to my website and say that I'm like flavor blasted with nacho cheese and Doritos dust and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm extreme, but not like in the bad way, like in the way with just an X.
Yes. Ooh, yeah. I like it. I can envision it already.
Extreme, but in the good way. All right. But what is it?
I think it comes down to just how you show up in the world, how you present yourself to other people, how you position yourself in contrast to others, and how you show up in different interactions, different touch points, if you want to use a user experience term, the things that you do, the things that you say, like it all comes together into a story that you are telling to other people.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think there's also, if we want to think about it just as how you come across to people, there are absolutely public brands and private brands. You know, there's the way that people see you in the world and the way that people at your company see you. And this may be entirely my neurodivergence talking, but we all wear different masks. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this later, but it's interesting how different some people are in all of these different settings and how different some people need to be in these different settings. But if you are going to have a really like a public brand where you're doing things out in the world and you're trying to push content or you're trying to get your name out there or you're trying to give talks or any of that, I think that starts to get a little interesting about how much that can differ from what you're like when you're hanging out with your friends or even with your team who all know you and give you the benefit of the doubt, hopefully.
Yeah, we show up differently in different places. And you talked about wearing masks, and it reminds me of a sociologist, maybe psychologist, Irving Goffman, back in the 1950s or 60s or something. He wrote about this idea of presentation of self in everyday life. I think that's actually the name of one of his books. And he likened all of this to being in a play and acting certain ways when we're with one group of people or in a private environment versus a public one. We all have different versions of ourselves. And when I think about professional branding in terms of our careers and job searches, I also relate it to the goal of creating and nurturing relationships with other people. So we think about this stuff, we perhaps get intentional with it to some extent, but using that to create relationships and connect with folks and network and put yourself out there, that's one question we're going to explore is what could this look like and is it necessary and how do we go about doing this? I think too, now that we're in 2023, it's a pretty common concept. It's not new, but it definitely is a lot more prevalent because of social media. And I think especially in design, because we think a lot about presentation and branding and aesthetics and user experience and all of these concepts that are applicable to professional branding.
Yeah, I want to focus very much on that professional branding and getting things out into the world. So anything from at your company, but maybe even trying to become more, I don't know, important or higher up in your company, all the way to you want to give talks, you want to write books. So any of that, I want to focus more on that because I think that's what I have experience with. The interesting thing to me is a lot of people talk about they want to have a personal brand because they want to do all of these external things. For me, the question is, okay, but really, why do you want it? What are you trying to get out of it? With whom do you want that brand to resonate? Whenever you're thinking about, I got to put together my portfolio, or I got to put together a talk, or I've got to put together a book proposal, or whatever it is, you got to treat yourself to a certain extent like a product and figure out, who are you trying to appeal to? Who is your audience? What are the metrics that you're going to use? Do you want to just get a whole bunch of followers on LinkedIn? Sure, go ahead. Great. But what good does that do? Like, it's just you're slightly connected to a lot of other human beings. What are you going to use that for? What are you trying to get out of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. What are your goals here? And you could be like famous people who have millions of followers, and then the followers end up having a label that corresponds with the name of that famous person, like Swifties, right? Is that
yeah,
the Swifty Army or the Bumblebee Army?
The Beehive, the Swifties, yeah.
That, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, look, if you're at that level of fame, yeah, go for it. They are absolutely your own personal minions and you can make them do whatever you want. When you're at like really anything less than that, the benefits are less obvious. Let me put it to you that way. They can be very useful. If you do want to write a book, if you do want to teach a class, if you want to do some freelance work, if you want to do freelance work, professional branding is absolutely a thing that you should cultivate because you want people, when they think about that thing you do, to think about you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to be the one associated with whatever it is that you're selling so that other people, when they get asked, hey, do you know anybody who does great user research? Or oh, yeah, you got to talk to so-and-so, right? Hell, you coach, right? When you want people to think about, oh, I'm really having trouble with this job decision. I don't know. I've been in UX for a while and I'm trying to figure out how to get through this. You want somebody's friend to go, oh, you should talk to Amy. She's going to be great. She's going to help you figure this all out. And that's part of your personal brand. Your personal brand is that you help people with specific kinds of problems.
And I bring a certain lens. I bring yes. a certain set of practices. A lot of what I talk about on LinkedIn relates to my philosophies and how I work with people and the topics I care about. And going back to what you were saying, it's opportunities. Like, what sort of opportunities are you looking for? What are your goals? And maybe you don't have big plans or a big scheme for anything long term. You just want to connect with people who are like-minded and who you share affinities with. And that's totally fine too. Having a goal in mind is really important because you need a goal in order to work backwards and go, what's the story I want to tell people? How and where do I do that? What are the elements of my story, my presence? What kind of reputation do I want to build? And of course, this can be really handy for job searches. And frankly, given the state of the job market right now, I feel like it's becoming even more useful as a way to stand out as a candidate because you're involved in a community of practice. Maybe you share your thoughts online and think publicly on relevant topics.
I think that's actually super useful to think about. I also, you mentioned how you come across. And I want to say, I'm going to do that thing where I give some advice and then I'm going to give a whole bunch of caveats about that advice.
All right.
Personally, this is a personal Laura story and I've told it before in various places. When I first started establishing my professional brand, I think back in 2009, I started blogging and it was very focused on sharing information that I knew really well that I knew other people didn't know as well. And I was very matter of fact about that. And I wrote about that stuff and I look back on that stuff and I'm pretty happy with a lot of it. Like I think those were good thoughts to share. I will also say this later on when I got onto Twitter, which I am now sadly off of, and when I got out and was doing other things and even on my blog and in my books, when I stopped trying to be so serious and professional, I actually did much, much better. When I started just being me, which as is an asshole, but like in the good way.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that everybody loves that Laura. What I am saying is some people love that Laura and they were the right people. They were the ones I wanted to work with. Because what I realized was trying to go out there and sell myself as a serious professional business lady who's like, that was never going to work the second somebody started actually talking to me. Because I could not maintain that fiction for more than an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. So it was really important to me. And people, and like I said, people liked it. People liked that it was pretty straightforward. People liked that I came across as telling the truth and pulling no punches, although I actually pull quite a lot of punches. I'm much more of an asshole on the inside.
You have a karate black belt?
Yeah, no, you want me to pull punches. It's fine. It's good. It's good. It's a thing that they teach you so that you don't murder your partners. What I will say is it's important to find the persona or the external branding that works for you. I will also say I have a tremendous amount of privilege because I am able to just be myself, and not everybody has that. And a lot of that comes down to racial bias or ageism or all sorts of other things that you can't just go out there and be yourself because a lot of people will hold it against you.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep in mind that I'm not saying, no, don't censor yourself at all ever. Be the you that is comfortable for you, that gets you what you need. How about that?
I like that. And I feel similarly. I feel like I have a similar presence out on the internet and in my coaching practice. And I think just generally amongst my friends and family and social life of being the no holds barred, say it as it is kind of person. And that does ring more true to me and my personality. And it's, I think, why we make a great co-hosting team for this show.
I would agree with you if you hadn't just cheated on me with another co-host, but we can get into that later.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. I love it. You know how lazy I am.
But you can be intentional with how you want to show up. And then you can also think, how do I not want to show up? Who do I not want to be like? Maybe what's so common out there? What's so standard about how people present themselves? And how might I position myself differently or present something that contrasts with that is also still genuine to who I am?
Yeah. Can we talk about those LinkedIn posts that are just like one sentence per paragraph and are completely bizarre and some terrible story that are shared by thoughtfluencers that I just immediately want to throw up? That is not, look. If that's your thing, and if that gets you a bunch of followers, and those are the followers that you want, more power to you. But that is not how I want to show up in the world. And you got to factor that in. A lot of times people will give you advice on, here's the way to get to X number of people, or whatever. And they'll give you this really boring, standard, make posts like this, and at this time, and
formulaic.
I don't have that kind of attention span, and show up how you want to show up. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think if you put your own personal flair into it, whatever that is, it will help you, like I said, find the right people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing professional branding in order to get a job, for example, you don't actually need to appeal to absolutely everybody. You don't need hundreds of thousands of followers. You don't need all of this stuff. You need to connect with the right people. Now, if you are trying to sell books or if you are trying to sell classes or whatever, having more of those folks is better. Figure out what maximizes that for you. But again, don't always go with what works for other people, right? It's got to be a little bit of you. Be enough you. How about that?
Yeah. So there's a few things to keep in mind when thinking about this. Part of it is articulating who you are in a systematic cohesive and clear way. So if you really want to get intentional with how you're presenting yourself out there, think about your story. Think about your journey. What's the through line amongst your major professional and life milestones? What are your strengths? What are your values? How do you like to practice your work? Of course, your skills and achievements and all of that stuff. And how can you tie all of that together and synthesize it into a story that is the same across the board? You show up in the same way in different interactions with people. And it is very clear to them that you're connecting the dots for folks, especially if maybe you come from a non-traditional background of some kind. Another important aspect of it, I think, is to show it and not just tell it, right? So your behaviors and your actions out in the world say something about you. And those should correspond with the story that you're telling to other people. Additionally, focusing on what makes you unique, because if you think about it, the researcher is a researcher. A programmer is a programmer, a designer is a designer. And we can get into the nuances of levels and this and that. But ultimately, we have a lot of overlap in our skills and working in certain product spaces or certain types of technological platforms. And so what is it about you that makes you a bit different or a lot different than other people? And how do you instill that into your materials, into your conversations and networking, into any content that you put out in public?
I'm glad that you said the C word, because I want to talk about content. It's not just writing and it's not just podcasts. It's content. We create content. Here's the thing. I like to think of this as, what do you know that you could share with other people that they would find helpful, right? Not necessarily even what would they pay for, but what is the thing that you could teach to somebody else to just help them out? One of the really nice things, I think, about all of this content creation and putting things out into the world is all sorts of people sharing their particular expertise at a thing. Yeah, are there a bunch of people out there who are probably putting stuff out that maybe they're not that great at or they shouldn't? Yeah. Don't share bullshit. Don't share things that are wrong, but tell a story about a thing that you learned, right? Somebody's gonna find that helpful. Show a thing, you know, show somebody who's maybe 5 years behind you something that they can get right without having to go through all the pain that you did to learn it, right? Just if you think about what you can share with people to help them, that's gonna be part of that professional brand. And again, that's how you get people to think about you when they think about getting somebody to help out with a project, or when they think about who should I get to write this book, or who should I get to give this talk. You want them to think about who are the people who are out there being experts in public, or just being helpful, not even experts, just who are the people out there being helpful in public. Mm-hmm. If you do really want to get into that level where a lot of people are thinking of you this way, you do need to produce this stuff pretty regularly and in significant bulk to make a dent, right? You're not going to do one or two blog posts and become the expert on it unless they're just the best blog posts ever. But you can get that stuff out into the world and just get a little bit of recognition for that.
Yeah, starting somewhere, right? When I work with people who are interested in thinking publicly about things and putting themselves out there, they ask, what do I have to talk about? What is my expertise? They sometimes doubt that they have anything special to say, which everyone has something interesting to say. You just have to find what that is. You have to identify your voice and your tone and the personality that you're going to bring. So just putting yourself out there, starting with basic LinkedIn conversations, commenting on other people's posts, right? That can be a great way to start practicing that. And I did have a client in the past who was coming out of academia into user experience research. And this person had a degree in anthropology, a degree in library information sciences, and she identified UX research ops as a career path. And what she did was start with a basic Medium post about why archivists are great for UX research ops positions. And a hiring manager found it because it got shared on LinkedIn, and then that person ended up getting a job the next week. Had they written about this all that much before? No, actually, this was their first post on it. But they had enough of a network and they were in the right place at the right time to bring that person's attention to what they wrote. And after that, she continued to write some more things. She was invited to be on panels with the research ops community, to do stuff at conferences. She was able to get additional jobs after that. So while I do think having a strong foundation and an ongoing presence in the community in terms of a topic that you're discussing, that's obviously very helpful. But sometimes it does come down to identifying a topic that no one else talks about mm-hmm. and putting it out there and letting your network do the work.
Yeah, I've taught on and off for many years. I generally do it when I feel like I want to do something fulfilling, and then I stop doing it when I feel like I want to do something that makes me money. But I have taught off and on for many years. And I remember I've had a bunch of students who've done really well, again, by writing up a case study of a thing that they did on something like Medium or on a blog post and putting it out into the world and really like thinking through in public why they made the design choices that they did, what, and just putting it out there. So again, things that other people do talk about, but talking about it in a little bit different way, talking about it with a little case study, talking about it, just showing that they think about things well. And a lot of them got contacted for jobs a lot faster than the other students who hadn't done that. Mm-hmm. So the other thing to think about too is think about the channels that make the most sense for you. Are you great at video? I hear there's this thing called TikTok. It's not for me. I'm an old. Might be good for people who like making videos of themselves. Well, I don't know. But there is LinkedIn. There used to be Twitter. I love Twitter. I was huge on Twitter. It was so much fun. I miss it. I'm still fucking mad about it.
But, yeah. I accidentally deleted my Twitter account back in 2018.
Yeah.
It was really sad. There's a person in the design community who I will not name. Actually, it was Mike Montero. He called for like a boycott of Twitter because it was turning into a shit show. Yeah. And he said, let's boycott it. Let's turn off our accounts for 30 days. And I fucking forgot to turn it back on before it auto-deleted. So I lost my like entire Twitter career repository. And I wasn't too upset about it for too long. But now I have a good story, of course. But the point I want to make is you don't have to be in all the places either. Just pick one. Pick a newsletter. Pick LinkedIn. Whatever.
There's a lot of great Slack channels too for designers. You don't have to build completely in public. You can join a Discord. You can join a big Slack channel that has lots of designers on it. You can start making connections there. You can start sharing things. Just one thing I will say is it is useful, as you have shown by accidentally losing all of your Twitter shit. It's nice to keep it on your own site too, right? If you're going to write something, put it on a blog. Maybe host a WordPress, something, whatever it is. I don't care. Google Docs. But keep it someplace that you have a version of it so that you don't lose all of that information, because that stuff's useful. And you can repurpose it. I've got stuff that I rework from 10, 15 years ago. I'm still saying the same goddamn thing because none of y'all were to learn. All I'm saying is think about what medium you want to use to share it. Think about how you want to put it out into the world. And that's going to come out of who you're talking to. Who are you trying to get in front of? Are you trying to get in front of UX managers? Great. That's totally different than if you're trying to get in front of new UXers because you want to build an army of minions, or if you want to do a lot of hiring. Mm-hmm. All of these are good channels. I think there are fewer now than there used to be, but it's out there, right?
Yeah.
Something new is coming along all the time. So keep experimenting.
Yeah. So we've talked about content and putting ourselves out there and our thoughts and ideas, but I also want to bring attention to the more traditional documents that show up in our presentation of professional self. So things like our resume or portfolio, perhaps a website, your LinkedIn profile itself, those things, you want them to be cohesive and clear as well.
So a big part of your online presence, if you're not doing all the other stuff, if you're not doing content creation, the one thing that a lot of us as designers can't get away from is the portfolio or the resume to a certain extent. I have actually gotten away with not technically having an online portfolio for many years. In fact, my entire career. That's because I'm real old and got away with not having it for a long time and then had enough of a name that it wasn't required. But most people need them. And so that is also a part of thinking about how you present yourself and, again, treat it like a product. The great thing about it is it's a product with a very obvious audience. And it is a very obvious goal for you, for what you want to get out of it. So you can actually measure it, that sort of thing. I don't want to get too deep into portfolios because it could be 6 or 7 different podcasts because there is so much bullshit about them. But again, really thinking about at least personal branding at that level, unless you want to be like me and get away with not having one, which I will tell you, it will limit you in some ways. So that's the other thing to think about is you can absolutely choose to do none of this. That is a valid choice and I respect it. And let me know how it goes. But I will tell you that if you don't do any of it, it starts to get somewhat limiting. Fewer people know who you are. If you, like I said, if you don't have the portfolio, you're just going to be nixed from certain jobs right out the gate. You're not going to get things like speaking engagements. You're not going to get asked to talk about things in public. This stuff all has a way of building on itself. So you can absolutely choose not to do it and you can still be successful, but it might be harder. That said, also, you can have an enormous audience of people and there will still be way more people who have no idea who the hell you are than there are people who do. Speaking from experience on that one, it's always funny. You go into a new company, two people are like, oh, are you the Laura Klein who wrote the book or whatever? And it's like, yeah, I'm that Laura Klein. And everybody else is like, who the fuck is this person? I don't know her.
It's true.
So keep that in mind. It is not a path to unlimited riches and success.
Dang it.
I know. Did you think it was like the next blog post was going to be the one that unlocked the key to the yacht?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be this podcast this episode. One. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dang it. All right. Yeah. The question is, what are your goals and what makes sense to do for yourself and how you see your career? And honestly, I wish this stuff weren't necessary to the extent it seems to be necessary now, right? Like we have to play a game where we're trying to have a career and design our careers with intention and put ourselves out there in a certain way to get interest from other people. We have to sometimes tell people what they want to hear too. It would be great if we could just show up, do a job, get a job because we're qualified on our resume and not have to go through all of this extra effort in terms of your average job seeker person, right? There are other activities that make more sense if you have different goals. But the reality now with the job market is that this sort of stuff can be very beneficial and it's harder to get jobs now if you're not showing up publicly in some way, if you're not doing some sort of networking, if you're not telling your story somewhere on the internet where people can find you and get to know you and decide if they want to get in touch with you about a position.
Yes, I will say I'm going to stick with my, you can totally succeed without it. I think you can. I don't know that you can succeed without like ever showing up on the internet. That seems unlikely, but a lot of people I've hired don't have any kind of social networking presence. They don't have blogs. They don't do that stuff. They do it, like I said, they do have a great portfolio and they can talk about it and they can explain why it's great and they can explain all their decision making. So you still have to be able to tell that story. And I think that's actually required. That is part of the job. Mm-hmm. That actually is part of the job. Doing it on a Medium post is 100% optional. If you want to get inbound interest, if you want people coming to you rather than constantly having to go to them, if you want to have a little bit of cushion maybe against, maybe you're doing a great job at your company and you aren't talking about it outside of your company. Like, hell, Apple won't let you talk about it outside of your company. So nobody who works at Apple while they're working at Apple can talk about any of this stuff. So, and they seem to do fine, but they worked at Apple. So they've got that kind of cachet. So you got to think what's necessary, what's going to cushion you if suddenly this great job you were doing at your company doesn't pay off and you get laid off and you need to stand out in against a whole bunch of other people who are also in the same boat. It sucks. I agree. And you don't have to do it. you can rely on all these other ways of getting to know people, like you said, networking and personal relationships and that kind of thing. And those are great and they're wonderful. And this can help. And having that personal, that professional brand out in the world can sometimes be the thing that makes the difference. It's a trade-off, like anything else. Is that the thing that you want to spend your time on? Maybe. Maybe not.
And here we are, looking back at how we've spent our time crafting our professional brands. Would you have done anything different? Would you have done the same activities and written books and taught courses and all of that?
I don't know that I would have had a choice to do anything different because I get distracted by shiny things and I get bored doing the same thing over and I just like to try things because they seem different. Everything that I have done from the podcasting and the writing and everything has been for me more about just what comes naturally. I like doing those things. I enjoy talking to you on a podcast. And if people want to listen to it, great. Thank you. But yeah, I do it because I like the activity of doing it. And I don't tend to do the parts like making a portfolio that I do not like doing. So that is a thing to consider. If you absolutely hate all this stuff, you can totally get away without most of it.
I feel the same way. I started blogging in 2011, right after I finished grad school. And the focus of my blog, which was called Anthropologizing, and there's a story behind that name. It's retired now. I'm blogging on my amysanti.com website. But yeah, I blogged on there for about 10 years about my career journey from anthropology into UX and observations about design and technology and what it's like to work in ridiculous organizational cultures and sharing my thoughts on various other topics. And I started doing it because I've always enjoyed writing and I process through writing, but then I started getting an audience of people who were interested in what I had to say, which kept me going and getting better at it over time and shifting into going on people's podcasts to do interviews, doing talks. Like, it's just evolved out of that. And now I'm co-hosting a podcast, which was never on my list, but the opportunity came up and I jumped into it and have really been enjoying it. So I think that's part of the fun is to find the medium that you like to use to share your thoughts, or perhaps you just want to focus on those key professional documents, your portfolio, and tell your story in that way. But yeah, if you can find something that you enjoy, it makes it a lot easier. And I really do try not to do things that I don't enjoy. And even thinking about content creation and thoughtfluencership, TM, that kind of stuff, I'm so not into that. I do things that resemble those sorts of activities, but I don't want to put so much pressure on myself to meet certain metrics. And I have found myself falling into that trap a little bit on LinkedIn in the past where I had to take a pause and go, wow, I'm caring about this thing too much. Let me just reel it back and do my thing and say what I want to say and not care about showing up and beating the algorithm just to get more engagement and that sort of thing. So that makes it more enjoyable for sure.
Yeah. That is all the time that we have for today. If there's a question or topic that you would like us to discuss, please do reach out to us on LinkedIn. And by us, I of course mean Amy, who is the one who pays attention to LinkedIn. If you are so inclined, we would deeply appreciate your support on the podcast. So if you like the show, please subscribe and leave a rating for us.
But only if it's 5 stars.
Maybe if it's 4, is 4 okay?
No.
Okay. Nope. Well, you
heard if someone wants to leave 4 stars, email us first, tell us what you want us to change. We will not do that. And then just don't leave any stars whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great point. Yes. We are very open to feedback and we are also going to ignore it. No. Do tell us though if you have questions.
We love feedback. We love suggestions, topics you want us to cover. And we'd love to hear from anyone who's listening. So
thank you to our listener. I am Laura.
And I'm Amy.
And we do want to thank our listener and we want to wish you the best of luck with your search. No matter what you are looking for, we're rooting for you.